Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bancolombia's first quarter 2016 earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia, and I will be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to participate in this portion of the call, please press star followed by one at any time during the conference. If assistance is needed any time during the call, please press star followed by zero, and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. Please note that this conference call will include forward-looking statements, including statements related to our future performance, capital position, credit-related expenses, and credit losses. All forward-looking statements, whether made in this conference call and future filings and press releases or verbally, address matters that involve risk and uncertainty. Consequently, there are factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those indicated in such statements, including changes in general economic and business conditions, changes in currency exchange rates and interest rates, introduction of competing products by other companies, lack of acceptance of new products or services by our targeted clients, changes in business strategy, and various other factors that we describe in our reports filed with the SEC. With us today is Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jaime Velasquez, Chief Strategy and Finance Officer, Mr. José Humberto Acosta, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Jorge Humberto Hernandez, Chief Accounting Officer, Mr. Alejandro Mejia, Investor Relations Manager, and Mr. Juan Pablo Espinoza, Chief Economist. I would like to turn the call presentation over to Mr. Acosta, Chief Financial Officer of Bancolombia. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to our results conference call for the first quarter of this year. It is a pleasure to be with you all who follow Bancolombia so closely. Before starting with the main topics related to the bank results, I would like to introduce you to Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Bancolombia's new CEO. As you know, Mr. Mora was appointed Chief Executive Officer of Bancolombia and took office on May 2nd. He has spent the last 25 years of professional career at the bank, starting in corporate banking and then leading the investment banking division, then assuming the role of Chief Risk Officer and Chief Operations and Technology Officer. Last year, Mr. Mora was appointed Chief Innovation Officer with the mandate of leading the digital transformation of the bank and accelerating the implementation of digital banking platforms, which will pave the way for the Bancolombias of the future. Now, I would like to turn the presentation to Mr. Mora, who will elaborate on some topics relevant to the business. Mr. Mora?
Thank you, José Humberto. Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be here with you today to share some of the recent developments at the bank, as well as key strategic objectives as we move forward. In recent years, Bancolombia has grown significantly, and it has become a major regional player with presence mainly in Colombia, Panama, El Salvador, and Guatemala. That evolution has created a unique platform to provide financial services of all level of complexity to all types of clients and industries. Bancolombia, as a participant in the financial services industry, faces many challenges. Digitalization has changed the way individuals and corporations deal with their cash management, financing and savings, or investment needs, and banks are operating in an environment where competition, regulation, and the need for value creation present many challenges. These situations force banks to adapt quickly and also to be closer to clients who are more and more demanding in terms of service, channels, and products. At the same time, regulatory constraints and the need to optimize capital forces us to permanently assess our strategy, making sure that the business remains sustainable and profitable. With that in mind, we plan to address several issues. The four most representative are: first, our focus on profitability. All that we do must be reflected in long-term profitability and value creation. I firmly believe that the conditions combined in Bancolombia's business case will allow us to achieve ROEs of 16% in the midterm. During this presentation, you will see very good operational results, solid margins, funding costs under control, good performance of fees, product of better and more capillary channels across the regions where we operate. Second, we believe that the value of the Bancolombia's franchise and the coverage network, both physical and electronic, is unique to compete and create value. These two factors allow us to have the largest market share in Colombia, the lowest cost and most stable funding base, and to process almost half of the transactions that occur in Colombia. Our goal is to continue developing these strategies that lead to the monetization of these strengths and to grow revenues at a faster pace than the expenses required to generate those revenues. Third, and related to the challenges that I mentioned earlier, innovation plays a key role in Bancolombia's sustainability and profitability, developing new ways and channels to deliver our services to existing and new clients is part of our strategic initiatives. This is an effort related directly to efficiency gains. The ultimate goal is to grow revenues with little or zero marginal cost. We have invested heavily in technology over the last 6 years, and that effort is paying off as the fastest growing channels today are electronic and mobile. Additionally, digital banking is the best way to tap the markets where 50% of the GDP and the labor force is informal and where 4 out of 5 people do not have a credit product. Finally, on the capital front, we strongly believe that the Colombian regulatory framework is stringent and conservative. We understand that banks today require higher levels of capital as compared to those before 2008 financial crisis. But even as important as the core capital ratios is the way Bancolombia allocates its capital. We reaffirm our strategy to focus on our core business, which is intermediation and financial services. Let's remember that today Bancolombia does not generate a significant source of revenue from proprietary trading activities. With this in mind, we can reassure you that we feel comfortable with today's capital levels, which are about 2 times the minimal regulatory requirements. We intend to keep the Tier 1 capital ratio of Bancolombia above 8%, which will allow the bank to operate in the environments that we have forecasted for the future years. Next, I would like to continue with the presentation of Bancolombia's financial results for the first quarter of this year. Now, I will turn the presentation over to José Humberto, who will elaborate on the main topics that impacted our business in this period. José.
Thank you, Juan. You can follow the slide presentation available at our investor relations website. Moving on into the first quarter results of this year, I would like to highlight the following facts. The 21% growth of the bank's loan portfolio over the last 12 months was driven by credit demand in Colombia and the consolidation of Banco Agromercantil of Guatemala at the end of last year. This is a positive fact that despite the deceleration in the Colombian economy, the loan portfolio continues to grow. The performance of the net interest margins, which finally present a clear signal of expansion and, of course, a positive impact of the net interest income. NII grew 30% in the last year, way faster than the growth of the loan portfolio. This is a very positive fact that reflects the effort to maintain the funding cost low, the improvement in spreads on the new loans, and the asset-sensitive nature of our balance sheet. Fees also performing very well, as they grew 19% as compared with the first quarter of last year, In particular, we see the promotion of debit and credit cards as methods of payment and the distribution of insurance through our branches as a very efficient way to continue growing fees. During the quarter, we saw a significant increase in the level of provision charges. This is partially explained by the runoff of some existing past due loans, plus the formation of new ones, which tends to be faster in the first quarter every year. Finally, we saw a significant increase in the income taxes. This is explained by the difference between tax and financial accounting in Colombia. We will elaborate more about this in the next coming slides. Slide number 3 summarizes the performance of the bank. We are very happy with the good operational performance of the bank, since income before taxes grew 8% year over year. This performance is explained by the expansion of the margins, loan growth, and solid fee performance. Nevertheless, we have been having a drag in the provision charges, which have been increased about 80% year over year. Net income fell 39% over the quarter. Clearly, the divergence between income before and after taxes is explained by the higher income tax of 551 billion Colombian pesos. Now, to dive into the income taxes line, it can be summarized as follows. For fiscal purposes, investment in subsidiaries denominated in US dollars are not converted to Colombian pesos in the balance sheet. Meanwhile, the US denominated liabilities that fund these investments are restated to Colombian pesos. Last year, the depreciation of the peso led to fiscal accounting losses due to the conversion of our US dollar denominated liabilities into Colombian pesos, therefore lowering the tax base. That happened last year. This quarter, however, the exact opposite effect took place. The peso appreciated 5%, which decreased the level of US dollar denominated liabilities when converted into Colombian pesos, thus increasing our taxable income. IFRS reporting standards subject to our US denominated liabilities to higher or lower restatements and tax base based on the FX rate. This can be positively or negatively impact our business, and we must keep in mind that the FX rate is an exogenous variable. The difference between tax accounting and financial accounting made the effective tax rate higher in the first quarter of this year, after a year of a rather low effective tax rate. Putting in another perspective, it is necessary to view the marginal performance of taxes. In the first quarter of last year, we paid 258 billion, while in this quarter we paid 551 billion Colombian pesos. That is an increase of 293 billion Colombian pesos. This marginal increase is explained by the fact that the peso depreciated versus the US dollar in the first quarter of last year and appreciated 4.7 this quarter. We also paid the wealth tax this quarter, which amounted at around 145 billion Colombian pesos, slightly lower than the last year, and we will pay the last installment of this tax next year. Let's remember that in 2015, we paid 160 billion Colombian pesos in wealth tax. Now, we would like to continue with a brief discussion about the economic environment. For these purposes, we have Juan Pablo Espinosa, Bancolombia chief economist, who will elaborate more on these matters. Go ahead, Juan Pablo.
Thank you, Jose Humberto. Now, I will ask you to go to slide number 4 in the presentation. Leading indicators suggest that at the start of this year, the Colombian economy continued a process of soft landing. In terms of economic activity, after expanding 3.3% during 4Q15, we forecast that in 1Q16, GDP growth was 3.2%. This pace of growth reflects the resilience of private consumption and a less negative contribution of net exports, which compensate the weak performance of investment. However, we expect that during the remainder of the year, the pace of growth will moderate as internal demands adjust to higher interest rates, low consumer confidence, and a less rosy labor market. Hence, we keep our 2.6% growth forecast for the whole year. Regarding prices, during the first months of the year, the trend of higher inflation consolidated. So in March, 12-month print was 7.98%, the highest in a decade and well above the ceiling of the central bank's target range. But as the year passes and the economy cools off, we'll expect that price pressures will lose steam. From a maximum just above 8% in the short term, we foresee that inflation will close this year at 5.4%. Moreover, our monetary policy call is that the current tightening cycle will come to an end soon, with a maximum repo rate of 7.5%. In terms of the external sector, during the past months, we have seen a mild adjustment of the current account deficit due to a reduction of imports. We forecast that current account deficit will adjust from 6.4% of GDP in 2015 to 5.5% of GDP in 2016. In addition, our view for the Colombian peso remains bearish. In fact, our average USD COP forecast for the year is 31.80. In the fiscal front, the 0.7% of GDP budget cut announced a few months ago has dissipated short-term risks on central government finances. Despite this, in order to comply with the fiscal rule in the medium term, the government will need to implement comprehensive reforms. In this regard, a key development will be the discussion of a structural tax reform, which according to the Ministry of Finance will take place in the second half of the year. Let me conclude this section by saying that so far the country has managed to adjust orderly to global headwinds. Going forward, growth will decelerate further and external and fiscal challenges will still be acute. Against this backdrop, a resilient internal market and an adequate policy response will allow Colombia to remain one of the best performing major Latin American economies. After this overview of the economic context, let me turn the presentation to José Humberto, who will discuss the bank's results. José Humberto.
Thank you, Juan Pablo. On slide 5, we see the evolution of assets and their composition. We see the evolution of assets in a very positive way. The growth path is sustained, although moderating the pace in recent months. Most importantly, we are very comfortable with the allocation that we have today, which, as you can see, is mainly focused in the lending business. Total assets increased 22% over the last 12 months, and the incorporation of Banco Agromercantil loans portfolio explains 6.4% of this growth. However, during the first quarter, the peso appreciated against the dollar, which contributed to a quarter-over-quarter decline in the total net loan portfolio. Some important facts about Bancolombia's assets and loan portfolio. Today, peso-denominated assets represent 61% of the total assets of Bancolombia, while dollar-denominated represents 39%. As mentioned before, the Colombian peso appreciated 4.7% against the U.S. dollar during the first quarter. Loans outside Colombia represent 37%. All the products are growing in line with our expectations. The average yield to maturity for the investment portfolio is 6.8, and we continue to maintain a structural debt portfolio primarily for liquidity management. Also, the duration of the securities portfolio continues to drop and is very low at a level of 17.1 months, which minimizes risks in a very volatile environment. We continue originating loans with the strict underwriting standards in order to maintain the high credit quality of the loan portfolio, especially in the consumer segment. The loan portfolio in Colombian pesos decreased 0.5% during the quarter, affected by the FX rate we just mentioned and by the moderation in credit demand. The loan portfolio is growing less than we can saw last year in 2015, which is perfectly in line with our risk and credit standards, since the Colombian economy will not be growing above 3%, which was the case last year. Nevertheless, we start to perceive opportunities in some sectors of the economy, such as manufacturing, tourism, and infrastructure. Many of these sectors have been positively impacted by the weak peso. That is why we are slightly increasing our growth forecast of the loan portfolio to 10% this year. Originally, we designed a forecast of 8%. Now we are moving to 10%. We still focus our growth in the less risky products as we want to maintain a very healthy balance sheet. It is also important to mention that Bancolombia's balance sheet is matched in terms of currency, which reduce impacts of FX variations on the shareholders' equity. Last but not least, we want to highlight a fact that is very important to understand our view on capital. That is the high regulatory capital consumption of all our assets. The proportion of risk-weighted assets plus market risk to total assets is 88%, a ratio that is very high, but also give us comfort because the risk weightings are very conservative in the Colombia regulatory framework. Now, on slide number 6, we present a snapshot of the credit quality at the end of the quarter. In general, we saw an expected deterioration in the quality of the loan portfolio and the coverage ratio. It is not a matter of worries right now, but certainly it is something that we monitor permanently because we want to make sure that NPLs are under control and we do not get negative surprises. The 30-day past due loans to total loans ended at a level of 3.3%, above the 3% we had in the previous quarter. Also, the coverage ratio dropped to 106% from the last quarter in figures of 115%. This quarter, we finished the provisioning of Conalbias, making a small 30 billion pesos dent in our P&L. We forecast to have a 30-day coverage ratio ranging from 110% to 120% in the medium term, which we believe is more than enough to absorb potential credit losses. Similarly, 30-day past due loans should represent between 3 to 3.5% of gross loans. This forecast includes any foreseeable deterioration of corporate clients. At the bottom of the table, we compare 30-day past due loans, which is the Colombian standard, and 90-day past due loans, which is a better indicator of credit quality as we have a significant portion of our assets in countries that use that standard. 90-day past due loans have been very stable over the last 2 years. However, they were slightly affected because during this quarter, not surprisingly, it is more challenging in this more challenging credit environment. They represent 2% of gross loans as of December of 2015 with a coverage ratio of 192%. The reason why the coverage ratio is dropping in this quarter is basically because the IFRS standards. When a credit is past due and it has a warranty behind that, we don't have to have the same level of provisions that we used to have. So the level of coverage that we are having right now is because of IFRS and because of the regulation. Slide number 7 shows the provision charges, which were 537 billion Colombian pesos during the quarter. They represent 1.5% of average gross loans when analyzed and include the additional provisions made this quarter for Conalbias. In the shaded row of the table at the bottom, we present the amount of loans that became 30-day past due during the quarter, which is impacted by seasonal factors. The 810 billion Colombian pesos new past due loans represent an increase as compared to those in 4Q last year, and are mainly represented by retail loans and SMEs. Furthermore, total past due loans totaled 4.646 billion Colombian pesos. Besides a few specific corporate client situations, we feel comfortable with the evolution of the loan portfolio and forecast provision charges to be around approximately 1.6 to 1.7% of gross loans during this year. This is the guidance that we have been maintaining, which is its cost of credit could be at around 1.5 to 1.7%. As we have shared with you in recent months, it is important to keep in mind the context in which we are operating. The Colombian economy is growing at a slower pace. The central bank is hiking interest rates, and we should see the impact of these facts in the coming quarters. By that, we mean that the pace of loan growth will be lower, and we could see an increase in the number of delinquencies. As we emphasized in the last conference call, we are taking all the necessary measures to prevent any negative impact in the coming quarters. In today's market, it is preferable to grow less in order to prevent a faster deterioration of the loan portfolio and higher provision charges. Moving on to slide number 8, we see the evolution of net interest income and funding cost along with the funding composition. This is perhaps the most positive trend in our business because over the last 12 months, we have been able to grow NII much faster than the volumes of loans. And as a result, the operating income of the bank has grown steadily as well. This is a combined effort in two fronts. First, optimizing the funding terms and structure and in order to keep costs as low as possible. And second, pricing loans at a higher spreads. NII for this quarter was 2.3 trillion Colombian pesos, 30% greater than the same quarter of the previous year, mostly driven by higher loan volumes, which grew 21% over the last year, higher spread on new originations, depreciation of the Colombia peso versus US dollar, 15% last 12 months, the 114 basis points increase in the DTF, which is the benchmark rate that we use to price a significant portion of our loans, and as a result, an improvement of net interest income. Bancolombia's funding cost was pressured upwards, mainly by higher cost on long-term debt, and also by the central bank interest rate hikes and a tighter liquidity environment, which spurred competition with other banks, driving up CDS rates and DTFs. The total funding cost increased by 36 basis points during the quarter, while the central bank's reference rate increased 75 basis points, and the DTF increased 114 basis points. These increases exemplify one of the Bancolombia's competitive advantage, which is the fact that about half of our deposit in our operation in Colombia are not sensitive to the interest rates. And therefore, our funding costs grow significantly less than the central bank's rate. On the other hand, a larger proportion of loans reprice with higher rates, and the NII and NIM grow as a result of that dynamic. During this year, we have focused our efforts not only in keeping the funding costs as low as possible, but also in increasing the average time to maturity of the stock of liabilities, in particular, time deposits and long-term debt. Nevertheless, during the first quarter, most of the pressure was on time deposits, as we had to recognize as higher interest on new CDs, as you can see with cost of deposits rising 32 basis points. The trend in interest rate hikes, increasing funding costs and NIM expansion that we have been seeing in recent months should stabilize in the second half of the year, as we believe that we have captured a significant portion of the benefits already. Our goal is to keep funding costs as low as possible, which have been able to achieve over the past months, while maintaining a conservative approach to liquidity risk management in an effort to defend or expand the NIM and the NII. We have in our favor the before mentioned asset sensitive condition of our balance sheet, which is beneficial for margins. Turning the page on slide number 9, we show the net interest income. During the first quarter, we saw a substantial improvement in the reported net interest margin at 5.7%. 60 basis points above the last quarter, explained by both the investment net interest margin and the loans net interest margin. In particular, three main factors positively impacted the investment's NIM during the quarter. First, the appreciation of the Colombia Treasuries, TES, and some other securities, even though the investment portfolio is only 8% of total assets. Second, investment flows, mainly from international players entering the Colombia fixed income market. And third, more clients demanding structured products for hedging purposes, such as FX swaps, options, etc. In the lending business, we have to link the stronger NIMs to asset-sensitive condition of the balance sheet and to the higher spreads of new originations. The central bank will likely hike the rate another 25 bps in the near term in order to control inflation expectations. The rise in rates is a good predictor of higher NIMs as we continue to move through the year. Although, as we mentioned in the previous slide, we believe that most of the lending NIM expansion already occurred in the first 3 months of this year. A breakdown analysis of fees is presented on slide number 10. Fees are another front where we were successful with the recent results. As Mr. Mora mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, we are monetizing the competitive advantages that Bancolombia has: number of clients, channels, products, and market share. During the first quarter, net fees increased by 10% compared to the last quarter due to the lower expenses related to the credit card's loyalty programs. Banco Agromercantil Bank contributed with 2.6% of the fee growth. Electronic services and ATM, debit, and credit cards fees were a key driver of fees during the quarter. We are experiencing sustained growth in cards and usage in Colombia due to rising wages and also the promotion of this as a method of payment. We continue to see more credit and debit cards transactions as a result of our commitment to promote the use of cards for in-store transactions. In addition, we're tapping into new business segments when it comes to promoting and introducing numerous benefits and customer rewards initiatives. Today, Bancolombia has 19% of number of plastics in the credit card market and 33% in debit card market. Also, the bank has 25% market share of billing in credit cards and 44% in debit cards. This creates an enormous opportunity because the plastic usage is not only a fee generator, but also a source of efficiency. Banking services and asset management also a major contributor for fee growth during the quarter, as well as an asset management. In addition, we saw a sustained performance of insurance distribution fees, which generated 72 billion Colombian pesos during the first quarter and grew 35% year over year. Fees presented today 28% of total revenues, which is a good share since this are transactions that do not require a significant amount of capital compared to the lending business. Our non-banking corresponding channel is steadily growing as we find new, cheaper ways to bring banking to Colombia's most underpenetrated geographies and client segments. Today, we have more than 6,000 of them. Finally, we forecast a fee growth of around 8 to 10% for this year. In slide 11, we present the evolution of expenses. Total operating expenses grew 24% year over year, or 347 billion Colombian pesos. When analyzing this growth in marginal terms, we find that the consolidation of BAM at the end of 2015 represented 45% of the increase. In other words, excluding BAM, the growth would have been at around 13%, which is also affected by the depreciation of the Colombian peso against the U.S. dollar over the last year. The depreciation of the U.S. dollar in the last 12 months accounted 15%, and the proportion of expenses in U.S. dollar of the bank is at around 14%. Operating expenses consist primarily of personal expenses and administrative expenses, which have been kept under control in their respective currencies. Let's remember the seasonal performance of these items, which causes them to grow more slowly in the first quarter of the year. Today, Bancolombia is oriented towards developing low-cost channels based on technological innovation and optimal customer segmentation, as we strive to grow expenses in line with nominal GDP. Our guidance for this year is an increase of expenses ranging from 8 to 10%, which we believe will be the key to obtaining strong profitability levels. Moving to slide number 12, we see the evolution of the net loans to deposit ratio, which ended the quarter at a level of 114%. This ratio has become relatively stable over the last year and is a level where we feel comfortable. The proportion of loans that we do not fund with deposits is funded with long-term debt in order to have a similar duration of both sides of the balance sheet. This strategy reduces the volatility in the net income and shareholders' equity. It makes more sense to us to fund long-term loans with long-term liabilities, and that's why the 114% is a level that gives us comfort about the liquidity position of the bank. Regarding capital on the bottom right-hand side, we show the capital adequacy ratio. The Tier 1 ended at a level of 8.2%, 370 basis points above the regulatory minimum of 4.5%. The capital levels that Bancolombia present today are optimal for the business plan that we have designed. In particular, we identify four factors to support our thesis. First, the Colombian regulatory is very conservative, and the risk weighting of assets is very high. That's why the minimum Tier 1 to operate in Colombia is 4.5%, which looks low compared to other regulations. Remember that risk-weighted assets plus market risk are 88% of our total assets. Nevertheless, Bancolombia is well above the regulatory capital level, and the fact gives us comfort. Secondly, the simple leverage of Bancolombia is very low. The ratio of assets to equity is only 10 times. So, in general terms, our balance sheet presents a greater component of equity than banks in other jurisdictions. Third, when we run our models to estimate the economic capital required to operate the bank, with the asset composition that we have and the risk parameters that we plunge in our models, we find that the requirement is to have a Tier 1 of 4.4%, which is very similar to the regulatory requirement. So we can say that we run the business with about 400 basis points of capital above the level that we believe is required from an economic standpoint. Finally, given the business cycle that we are going through today, we do not see the need to have more capital. The credit growth forecast for this year is very moderate, and we will organically originate capital to achieve that growth. We do not plan to push more M&A opportunities in the coming years as we focus on the optimization of our operations in Central America. As we have said before, we look to operate the bank at an optimal level of Tier 1, ranging from 8 to 9%. For the Tier 1 ratio, we ended the first quarter of this year with 4.8% for a total BIS ratio of 13%, above the regulatory threshold of 9%. Slide number 13 shows the return on assets and return on equity of the bank. The return on equity of the quarter was 8.1% and return on assets was 0.8%. Return on equity was significantly affected by the 56% of effective tax rate for the first quarter, by the wealth tax, as well as a higher provision charges. We do not see this quarter as a good proxy of the performance of the bank and prefer to focus on the income before taxes, which is not impacted by the gap between fiscal and financial accounting and therefore a higher effective tax rate. We expect to continue growing net income, although at a moderate pace, while maintaining solid solvency indicators for the rest of the year and improving profitability. Our target of return on equity for this year could be 13 to 14%, while the medium-term target will be 16%. After presenting these results to you, I wish to reaffirm two main goals for the future. First, our focus on profitability. This will come from a combined effect of growing of our lending business and sustain a development of our loan portfolio services. The lending business should benefit from higher volumes and better margins, as well as an optimal diversification and a risk management criteria, which is key during the next coming quarters. Second, our focus on efficiency. This is a necessary and mandatory condition to sustainability and profitability. Our efforts in digital transformation, increased capillarity of our channels, and process optimizations will contribute to this initiative and will permit the business to continue delivering value to our shareholders. After presenting these slides and discussing our first quarter results, I would like to invite you to invite our audience to ask any questions you might have, and we are glad to take it from there.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our first question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking questions. Couple of questions. First, on the tax rate, because as you mentioned, it was a little bit or significantly higher than what we've been seeing and the currency contributed. Is there any kind of visibility that you can give for the tax rate this year? Of course, if the peso continues to gain value, the tax rate will be higher. Is there a rule of thumb? You know, every 5% value, the effective tax rate is 100 basis points. Anything you can give us as guidance in order for us to better forecast your bottom line? Second question, you mentioned that margins are probably already reflected all that they will, or at least the lending margins, with the increase in rates, that your credit costs, the cost of risk is at 1.5% for this quarter, is probably at the low end of your guidance for the year, which means it's going up, that with the economy still, you know, growing but not at a very fast pace, that loan growth will probably not accelerate from current levels, if anything, decelerate. Excluding the tax, you probably did around a 15% ROE this quarter. Would that be a good level for the remaining of the year? I mean, given all this pressure, is that something that we should expect going forward, or is 15 a little bit too strong?
Okay, thank you, Carlos. Regarding your first question, I have to highlight one specific thing. We are not talking about tax paid. We are talking about provisions of tax that will pay at the end of the year based on the effects of the last day of the year. So this is only a provisioning, and we will expect to have a certain level of volatility. And just to give an idea, if we close the year at the same level of effects that we are having today, at the end of the day, nothing will happen, because at the beginning of the year, effects rate was 31.50, and as you hear from our chief economist, we expect kind of same effects rate. So excluding that effect, that obviously implies volatility, our tax could be at around 30 to 32% at the end of the year, excluding the effect of variation of FX.
Okay.
Regarding your second question, yes, we believe that a kind of deterioration will come, because you see the numbers, the growth of GDP is below as expected, maybe a little bit of unemployment rate, interest rate is going up. So that's the reason why we're keeping in mind the 20 bips extra for the next coming three quarters. So again, we continue our guidance in terms of cost of credit. We believe that today it is 1.5, and in a very orthodox way, we expect to close the year at a level of 1.7%. But again, as I mentioned during the presentation, our risk criteria right now is tightening the standards in order to prevent any potential deterioration. The deterioration that you saw basically is on SMEs, and usually these kind of companies are very impact and very sensitive for FX variations, and some pockets of the population in terms of consumer, but nothing relevant or material in terms of deterioration.
Our next question comes from Thiago Batista from Itaú BBA.
Hi guys, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one, Mr. Moura commented in the beginning of the call that the revenues tend to expand at a faster pace than the expenses in the coming years. Do you believe that the main highlight in terms of the revenues will come from the margins or from the NII or from the fees? You mentioned that the fees already achieved 20% of your total revenues. How much do you imagine that this should achieve in the medium term? And my second question is about asset quality, especially on the corporate or the company segment. We saw some deterioration in this portfolio in the first Q. How much more do you believe that your PDL ratio should expand, especially in the corporate segment?
Thank you, Thiago. Regarding your first question, the NII, the strong of the NII or the support of the NII for the next coming three quarters will come basically for the lending business. If you double check the presentation, the NIMs there are very positive. And the fee growth, again, as you mentioned, the growth is 18% this year. The guidance for us this year could be at around 10%. So 3/4 of the total NII will come from the lending business and 25% will come from the fee income business. And the fee income business basically is supporting in the level of transactions. It's not supporting based on the assumption that we will ask for more fees for our clients. So the level of transactions is growing at a very good pace. So that's the way we design the NII for the year. And as a marginal point of view, the 8% of the securities will support in some quarters because of the volatility. For example, this quarter, it helped us with 3% NIM. But remember that the last quarter of last year, it supports with 0% of NIM. So that depends on volatility. Regarding your second question, the deterioration in corporate are very, very unique. I mean, there is some specific cases. We don't perceive any kind of deterioration as a vintage because corporate loans and commercial loans in Colombia, for example, to give you an idea in terms of U.S. dollars, they have a natural protection because of they are exporters, so they have protection. So we don't see any specific deterioration. And in our operations outside, in Central America, which means Guatemala, Salvador, and Panama, we don't foresee any potential deterioration as a trend. Always you will see an specific case. And if you ask us about the oil industry and regarding all the industry related to oil, we have only an exposure of 1.4% of our total loan portfolio in those industries, so we don't expect a major deterioration. Thiago.
Thiago, and let me complement a little bit, Jose Humberto, this is Juan Mora, and regarding your first question, we firmly believe that we need to work hard on expenses. So when I said that we believe that income will grow faster than expenses means that we are working on both sides, but firmly believe that we have a work to do on expenses and the bank to be more efficient. So it's both sides, as Jose Humberto mentioned. We expect fees to grow since we have been working heavily on new products, and also the mix between our loan portfolio moving to segments with higher profitability while working on risk, and also our firm commitment of keep working on expenses.
To complement what Juan said, one of our main goals is to reach a level of efficiency at around 50% in the next coming 2 years. Obviously, when you see our numbers, 40% of our expenses are related to FX. So the impact of the devaluation or appreciation of the currency will put some volatility in our goals.
Our next question comes from Nicolas Riva from Citi.
Yeah, thanks, Jose Humberto. My question is, I'm going to go back to capital. So your Tier 1 ratio did increase 70 basis points quarter-on-quarter this quarter as you capitalized the return earnings from last year. However, this increase was slightly below your guidance of about 100 basis points increase. You were expecting to be at about 8.5%. And also, you're not going to be capitalizing earnings for the next three quarters, but you will grow your assets, and now you're guiding for 10% loan growth this year, and, you know, probably risk-weighted assets could grow in line with that. So that means that by the end of this year, your Tier 1 ratio could be very close to the 8% or below that, which is the minimum of the range that you think you feel comfortable without issuing equity. So really, what makes you confident that you will still not need to raise equity? And also something specific on this. Right now, the minimum Tier 1 ratio in Colombia is 4.5%. However, Colombia is still not in Basel III. Is there a timeline in which Colombia is going to adopt Basel III requirements? And in that case, is Colombia expected to impose additional capital requirements, which means that the minimum probably is not going to be 4.5, but higher than this? And then my second question on loan loss provisions, if you can repeat the number of provisions you booked for Conalvías this quarter, and if you expect now to be fully covered in your exposure to the company. Thanks.
Thank you, Nico. Regarding your first question, our guidance originally was, yes, to increase our level of T1 of 100 basis points after our General Assembly. But if you double-check, the loan growth, it's better than expected. So that consumes part of the capital that we talked at the beginning of the process. Our guidance originally were to grow 6 to 8% loan portfolio, and you're seeing a strong book growing. So that was the first reason. The second one, question regarding what will happen with the capital, with the Tier 1 during the year. Yes, the level of capital will drop once the loan growth appears. But remember that to understand what happened with the Colombian banking regulation is there will be a jump of T1 every March once the General Assembly took place. So you see the number below 8% last December. You will see the number below 8% this December. But again, you see the number above 8% on March based on the dividend payout. So again, this is a kind of floating goal, but at the end, on average, the level of capital will be at a level of Tier 1. Regarding your second question, yes, we have fully covered the Conalvías, or we believe that we have the coverage that is comfortable for the process in which we are right now. And what we did was 30 billion pesos. What's 30 billion pesos of Conalvías?
Yes.
30 billion pesos. That was the last portion. We did provision of Conalvías in three different tranches. In the third quarter of last year, the big tranche were in this last quarter of last year, and the remaining portion was this quarter.
The next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Can you share with us what are you hearing regarding the new tax reform? Likely there will be an increase in the value-added tax and some government cuts. So if considering these impacts and a tightening cycle to continue, are you comfortable with your expectations for a GDP growth of 2.6% for a year? On my second question, it is related to the net interest margin expansion. Can you share with us how much have you repriced loans? And do you have a sensitivity of how much Bancolombia's net interest margin benefit from an increase in interest rates? And lastly, in terms of your expenses growth guidance, what are the measures behind to improve the cost-to-income level? Can you give us more color on your process optimization? Thank you.
I can maybe speak about the tax reform proposal.
Go ahead, Juan Pablo. And
thank you. Well, basically, what we have today is a series of recommendations by several commissions that have been analyzing the Colombian tax structure. However, these recommendations are not mandatory for the government. Actually, the government is working at this moment on a proposal. So at this moment, we don't know the details of such proposal, because that would be something would be presented to Congress by July. What we would expect from that reform is, the goals of that reform would be twofold. First, increase the tax revenues by around 2% of GDP. but secondly, to adjust the fiscal, the tax efforts by the agents in the economy. So there's a consensus in the country that especially the tax rates paid by corporations need to be revised. So we would hope to expect those type of elements in the reform. But as I mentioned, it is too early to be very specific on that. And because of that precisely, we do not include any type of tax effect on our growth forecasts, because we would like to first see how would be the composition of the tax effort by components, so we can be more sure if there is going to be an effect on internal demand or not.
Let me complement a little, Juan Pablo. We heard directly from the president 2 weeks ago that they will present the tax reform to the Congress during the second semester of this year. And as Juan Pablo mentioned, we expect this to be positive. As you know, the tax structure in Colombia, it's complex, so we hope that this reform simplifies the tax structure and allow us to predict taxes in a better way.
And Ernesto, going to your question regarding NIMS, the sensitivity is for every 100 basis points that the central bank moves the interest, our sensitivity of NIMS is around 9%. Regarding pricing of loans, it was a combination of factors. We increased, on average, our loan portfolio for corporates and consumer. On average, we increased 150 bps. And the reprice occurred during this first quarter on a very important portion of the loan book. And obviously, that effect, you'll see very important during these first two quarters, but the second half of the year, you'll see a kind of plateau in terms of NIM growth and NII growth. And Nicolas, regarding your previous question, I'm sorry about that, regarding Basel III, remember that the local regulation is a kind of, there is some specific points regarding Basel III, but we expect that the second wave of Basel III will take place maybe 2018, and they will be focused mainly on buffers of provisions, they will be focused on liquidity, but we are not still working on that. But the level, the capital we are having today, it's a kind of Basel III. If you want to double-check a very, very internal details, we can share with you in another call.
Participants, we ask that you please limit yourself to one question only. Our next question comes from Alonso Garcia from Credit Suisse.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Regarding the investment portfolio, and I know there might be some volatility here, but what kind of NIM do you believe would be fair to expect for the remainder of the year compared to the 3% this quarter, or in terms of contribution compared to 184 billion pesos reported this first quarter? Thank you.
Thank you, Alonso. Yes, our base, our model are suggesting that the NIM could be at around 1 to 1.5%. And this is a comparison between the benchmark interest rate against our funding cost of the total deposit base that we are having. So 1 to 1.5% is the guidance for NIM for securities portfolio.
Our next question comes from Victor Galeano from Barclays.
Yes, hi. You did mention talking about a little further about capital. I saw in your forecast that you're looking at a depreciating peso going through to the year end. There's obviously loan growth of about 10%. You've got over a third of your assets in dollars, which is positive for your earnings stream. But can you explain to us, I think you mentioned that you, I don't know how, but that there was going to be some there was less sensitivity to the peso depreciation of the capital ratios. Can you explain to us a little more and give us a bit more color on that, about how you're doing that? Because the sense I have is that clearly your long dollars So therefore, this should actually adversely impact your capital ratios. And in addition to that, it seems like you have a lot of your intangibles in dollars as well. Thank you.
Yes, Victor. Yes, because of the depreciation of the currency, we use at around 40 bps of Tier 1 last year because of that depreciation of 30%. As you can see in our forecast, we expect to close at around 3180 FX, so we don't expect a huge impact in terms of consuming capital because of depreciation of the currency. But I have to highlight one specific factor. We have at around 20% of our equity in US dollars. That gives us a kind of protection in terms to protect us from the volatility of FX. So with that in mind, we don't expect a major impact of capital because of the valuation.
Okay, but you have a lot more assets in dollars, right?
Yes, right now we have 40% of our assets are in US dollar, but 22% of our equity also in US dollar.
Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC New York.
Hi, good morning. Actually, it will be two. On the tax rate, you gave the guidance of 30-31%. Could you clarify whether does or does not include the wealth tax? And then a specific question about your credit card portfolio. We have looked at your 20F, and when we look at your domestic credit card portfolio, it has declined 25%. Year on year. Was that a reclassification or was there an actual reduction in your credit card business? Thank you.
Regarding your first question, we are not contemplating in our guidance the 30 to 32% tax. We are not contemplating the wealth tax. The wealth tax is assuming on the financial statements as expenses. It's not a tax. So we are not contemplating that. Regarding your second question that you mentioned that we are losing some market share, we have to double check the numbers, if it is a billing or number of plastics, so we will call you back during the morning just to clarify what happened with the local business.
But Carlos, in general terms, our credit card portfolio has been very dynamic in terms of plastics, number of plastics, in terms of fees, in terms of interest rates. It's one of our focus. The portfolio is growing. It's not just growing in Colombia, but it's also growing in the other markets in Central America. So we have to double check the numbers, but in general terms, it's growing healthy, and we are keep our focus on credit cards and on payments specific, and it's going to be one of our main sources of income, of revenue in the future.
Carlos, probably what happened is the billing in U.S. dollars for Colombian population. Because of the FX variation, people reduce in a very dramatic way the acquisition of U.S. dollar goods. So probably that was one of the reasons the billing maybe shows a drop, but we will double check with you.
We have no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to Mr. Costa for final remarks.
Thank you very much, and thank you all of you. I hope to see you in the next conference, and if you have any specific question, don't feel free to contact us, Alejandro, or even any person of the team. Thank you again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.